Turn back with me over to Acts 8. This has always been a very intriguing passage of Scripture to me. I know it's hard whenever we read it to enter into what it's saying first time. I've had the advantage of reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. But I've always wondered at why this passage says what it says. And I know now. And I don't want this to be educational, but it was for me. And I pray that the Lord would make this a blessing. But tonight we're going to look at belief of the truth and baptism. Belief of the truth and baptism. And what makes the difference over whether or not it's true belief and true baptism, or a false belief and a false baptism. Look at verse 1. Let's read up to where we're going to begin at verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now verse 9 says, But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Sorcery means magic. He was a magician. And it says he bewitched. That means he astounded people. Just astounded them. And he made them believe that he was some great one. And what that means is he was a false prophet. That's what it means. He was a false prophet. A magician is nothing more than a professional liar. That's what a magician is, right? I am going to saw this person in half. I'm just kidding. That's what he is. I'm going to make this rabbit disappear. Did he really? No. He's a professional liar. He's a man who astonishes people with his lies, and so is a false prophet. So is a false prophet. Oh, the Spirit has got me speaking gibberish. Does he really? No. No. He doesn't. God called me on the telephone last night. I heard a man when I was a kid, I heard a man on TV say that. God called me on the telephone last night. Did he really? No. No. He's lying. Don't you worry. God loves everybody. Does he really? No. No. Lies. All lies. Verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed. Our Lord said, you let a man come in his own name, pushing his own name, and you'll receive him. And he's right. You know what name Benny Hinn pushes? Benny Hinn. Do you know what name Joyce Meyer pushes? Joyce Meyer. Verse 10 says, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. That's what every false preacher on the face of this planet wants men and women to believe. That he is some great one and that he is the great power of God. When the truth of the matter is, they're all just sinners. They're all just sinners. Just like the rest of us. We're all just sinners in the hands of God. That's all we are. Verse 11 says, "And to him they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ," they started listening to Philip preach the things of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And they'd been listening to Simon preach his lies and preach his lies, but when Philip opened up the Word of God to them, they went everywhere preaching the Word. Simon didn't open up the Word of God. He couldn't preach from the Word of God. And when Philip opened up the Word of God and the things concerning the kingdom of God, and when he preached Christ to them, it exposed all of those lies. That's when it hit these people in Samaria. We have been lied to. And they quit following Simon, and they turned to the true and living God. Verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Now, what does that mean, they were baptized? Well, here is the definition of that word in the concordance. A concordance is a Bible dictionary, a Hebrew and a Greek Bible dictionary. All right, here's what that word means right here in this verse. It means to make whelmed, as in overwhelmed. Fully wet, to cover wholly with a fluid. To moisten, to dip. So it's talking about water baptism. All right, look at verse 36 right here in Acts chapter 8. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" In water. Now, why did they do that? Why did they do that? Why were they baptized in water? Turn with me over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 44. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision," that's the Jews, "which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he asked them if they would like to be baptized." That's not what it says. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he recommended to them that it would probably be best if they were baptized. It says in verse 48, "He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." In the name of the Lord, not in their own name. Not, "I have decided that I want to be baptized so I can be saved, and I've made my choice, and I'm trusting in my choice." True baptism says, God chose me. Why do you want to be baptized? I want to be baptized because God chose me, and God put me in Christ so that I could die in Christ, so that I could be buried in Christ, so that I could rise with Christ. so that I could live in Christ. Let me show you that over in Acts 19. Go with me over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." The Christian way. Everybody's doing it. Verse 4, "Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, a changed mind about God, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus," and everything that that means, the God-man. "Paul declared unto them what John was preaching." He wasn't preaching a Christian way. He was preaching a man. He was preaching a work. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Verse 5, "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." The true belief brought on the one true baptism. They realized that a false confession is no confession at all. It's no confession at all. So that's why believers who've left the lies of religion and have turned to the truth and the true and living God, that's why they confess all of that in baptism. "I renounce my past, I renounce everything I believed, and I just confess Christ." That's it. And they do that because it's a commandment. It's a commandment of God. Is there any salvation in the tap water? No. Salvation is in Christ. Does a person have to be baptized in order to be saved? No. No. A person has to be baptized to obey God. That's it. Jared and Lauren are going to get married soon. Does it scare you when I say your name? Do you have to get married in order to be in love and live together for the rest of your life? No. No. You have to get married in order to obey God. People fall in love and live together all the time, right? You have to get married in order to obey God. The love is already there. The desire to be together, it's already there. You have to confess that before God and men in the ceremony of marriage to obey God. That's why we do these things, these commandments. It's to obey God. All right, go back with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God." The things concerning the kingdom of God. What things is he talking about? What things did Philip preach to them? Go over to Luke 24. I've always loved this. You know it well, but I love this. Luke 24, look at verse 15. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He was perfect. He was sinless. And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. He died. He died on a cross at Calvary. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. It was. He did. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. He's not there. He's risen. Verse 25, Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered instead of you? Ought not Christ to have suffered instead of you? And then after that, to enter into his glory. That's what Philip preached unto them. That's what he preached. Back over in Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says, But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. This magician, Simon. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that he made a false profession. It says he believed also, and it says he was baptized. But verse 21, if you look right here at Acts 8, verse 21, Peter said, Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. He made a false profession. But he believed something. He believed something, like so many do. You can go to most any church and ask somebody in that church, Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? And they'll say yes. Yeah. And they mean it. Ask them, Do you honestly believe that he was dead and he arose from the grave? And they will say yes. And they mean it. They have a historical belief. I believe those facts. They believe something, but the Scripture says the devils believe. That's what the Scripture says. Verse 13, Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He wondered at all these signs. I thought about those sorcerers and magicians in Exodus when Moses was going in. And those magicians of Pharaoh, they finally acknowledged to him, This is the finger of God. That's what they said. We know it is. They knew they were liars. They were magicians. And they said, What he's doing, we can't do it. This is the finger of God. But even though they acknowledged that to Pharaoh, it didn't change the fact that their heart was still hard, just like Pharaoh's. And this man right here, the heart of his soul is just as hard as Pharaoh's. Verse 14 says, Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the part that has always intrigued me. They believed, and they were baptized, and then Peter and John came down to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not saying that they believed and they were baptized, but the Holy Ghost hadn't come to them yet. It's not saying that. The only way that a sinner can believe is through the Holy Ghost. That's the only way. That's the work of the Spirit. He will convince men of sin, of righteousness. The Holy Ghost is the one who lays hold of a sinner and immerses that sinner into Christ. That is the spiritual baptism. Whenever a sinner gets in water, they're making a confession of something. They are confessing outwardly what the Spirit has done spiritually. Okay? When that Spirit takes a sinner and puts that sinner in Christ, that sinner has been baptized into Christ, immersed into Christ. The Holy Ghost had already come to them, but He had not given them the gifts, these miraculous gifts, to perform miracles, speaking in tongues and healing the sick. Now turn with me over to Mark 16. Mark 16, look at verse 15. Our Lord said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, these will be the signs that will confirm the gospel. It's going to go into all the world. And men and women are men who know this gospel and who can preach this gospel. They're going to take it into places that have never heard this gospel, ever. Places that speak languages that these preachers cannot speak, not natively. But they're going to be able to go into these places and perfectly declare the gospel in whatever language they go to. These gifts of tongues. And he said, my spiritual word is going to be proven by physical things. The sick are going to be healed. We have been reading in Acts how they were bringing all these sick people to Peter and laying them out in the streets, and he was walking around healing them. The sick are going to be healed. The dead are going to be raised. They raised dead people. The blind are going to see. And he said, my word is going to be confirmed in the hearts of my people. This gospel is going to go out. Free from the law. The Old Testament is law, law, law. And the gospel is free from law. How do we know this is from God? You see that blind person? Okay. Now, does he still confirm his word this way? Does he still prove his word this way? You could walk into one church, and you're going to see men smacking each other in the forehead, trying to cast devils out of each other. And their mouth is just rambling in an obnoxious way, and they're calling it new tongues. What that's supposed to be is a new language that we're all going to start speaking that we've never spoken before. And they got each other laid out in the floor, and they're laying hands on each other, trying to heal each other. Is that the work of God? Really, is that God confirming His word? Really? You can walk into another church and there's going to be a pastor up there holding a rattlesnake while he preaches. And he's going to get bit. And he's eventually going to die because he will resist medical treatment. Is that God confirming His word? Here's the answer, okay? Go with me back to Acts chapter 8. Here's the answer. Verse 17 says, "Then laid they their hands on them." This is Peter and John. "And they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.'" God gave the apostles the ability to transfer these miraculous gifts. They could do them, and they could give you the ability to do them. They could give it to other men. But the other men could not transfer them to anybody else. They could do them, but they couldn't give them. Verse 6, here in Acts chapter 8, says, "The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Philip had the gifts of the Holy Ghost, but he couldn't give them to anybody else. That's why in verse 14, the apostles which were at Jerusalem sent Peter and John, two apostles, so that the gospel would spread mightily and be believed and be confirmed by signs and wonders throughout Samaria. When the apostles died, and when the men that they gave these gifts to died, and they went out, and the apostles during this time were writing the New Testament. It had not been written yet. Okay? And we believe that the things that Paul said and the things that Peter said and the things that John said are the things that Jesus Christ is saying. We believe it's the Word of God. And God used signs and wonders to convince the world of this. This is the Word of God. Paul said it. Yeah, I know. But it's the Word of God. Okay? When the apostles died, and when the men that they gave the gifts to died, the gifts of confirmation ended. They ended. They are no more. That's why our Bible says what it says about these things. And that's why men who do them right now are in error. They are no more. The men who do them right now are just magicians, lying to people. Now, here's the problem for this man, Simon. He believed the signs and the wonders, but he did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He wanted the gifts, but he didn't want the giver. That's the difference. That's the difference in a true belief and a false belief. He wanted the glory, but he didn't want the glory of God. Does that make sense? He wanted redemption. Who doesn't want redemption? He wanted redemption, but he didn't want the Redeemer. The whole world wants heaven. The whole world wants heaven. The heart of a true believer wants him. The difference in a faith that is unto life, everybody believes something. The difference in a faith that's unto life, in a faith that's unto death, is in this heart. It's in this heart. That's the difference right here. It is found in the heart. Verse 18 says, "When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.' Then answered Simon and said, 'Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me.'" That's what Pharaoh said. That's what Pharaoh said. He didn't say, "Oh, I have sinned against God. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He didn't say that. Here's what he said. "You pray that none of these things which you have said come upon me." He wanted forgiveness. The whole world wants forgiveness. The heart of a true believer wants the forgiver. If I could just have him. If I could just have him. "I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." You know, it's one thing to believe that Christ died for sinners. It's another thing altogether to believe that Christ died for me. I am the sinner. I'm the sinner. That's a heart that's right with God. That's what a heart that's right with God is. It's a heart that is in agreement with God. "You're right. This word is right. I'm the sinner. And Christ is the Savior. You're right. I can do nothing. And He does everything. You're right." David said, "Create in me a clean heart. One that agrees with God. One that believes Him, one that confesses Him." Verse 25 says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." The gospel started spreading over all the world. Aren't we glad that the gospel didn't stay in Jerusalem, but that God sent it over here too? Maybe it'll start to spread here. Maybe so. I hope the Lord will bless that. Let's all stand together.